Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 31 May 2026, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 9, verse 3, so far we have, "For I could wish that I myself would be anathema, accursed." And then the King James says, "From Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." We have here the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive singular of Christos with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase huper, plus the genitive plural of adelphos with the definite article, and the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego, and the genitive plural of sungenes with the definite article, and the genitive singular of the pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the accusative of sarx. We start out... That was a doggy amen there, right? That's what that was. We start out with the preposition apa. I think it was the dog, or did you fart? A-P-O, apa. Now, the preposition apa is the preposition of separation. Apa means separation from someone or something. The object of the preposition apa is Christos. C-H-R-I-S. T-O-S. Christos, that's Christ, that's the Greek equivalent of Mashiach, the Messiah. When you say Christ, you're saying Messiah. And so what this says is separation, being separated from the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So he says, "For I could wish that I myself would be anathema, accursed, consequently separated from Christ." And then we have the preposition huper plus the genitive. Huper, H-U-P-E-R. E-R, huper plus the genitive. Huper means in the place of, instead of, on behalf of, or for the sake of. And then he adds ton adelphon mou as a substitute for my brethren, as a in the place of the racial Jews. Quite, this is amazing statement from the Apostle Paul. And then he adds to that ton sungenon mou, my fellow countrymen. And then the preposition kata plus the accusative sarx, my fellow countrymen, racial Jews according to earthly descent. So the corrected translation of verse 3. For I could wish that I myself would be anathema, accursed, consequently separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, according to earthly descent. You got that? For I could wish that I myself would be anathema, accursed, consequently separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, according to earthly descent. Now that's an amazing statement by the Apostle Paul. What he states here, what he's willing to do, is impossible. Paul is a believer in Jesus Christ. He has eternal salvation. He has eternal security. No one, not one person who believes in Christ can ever, ever lose your salvation. You can never lose your salvation. Even if you wish to do something, you might want to go to, you'd be willing to go to hell if some people would be saved and believe in Christ. You can't do it. That's impossible. And Paul knows it's impossible, but it presents the thinking and the pain that he's going through in his soul for the Jewish people. It's one of the most powerful verses ever. For I could wish that I myself would be anathema, accursed, consequently separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, according to earthly descent. One, as an unbeliever, and as an unbeliever, Paul was Saul of Tarsus. As an unbeliever, when he was Saul of Tarsus, Paul tried to keep the Jews away from Christ. When Paul was an unbeliever, Saul of Tarsus, he tried to keep the Jews away from Christ. Two, now, as a believer, the Apostle Paul is burdened for the Jews, and he prays for them. He prays for them every day that they might come to Christ and believe in him for eternal salvation. Now, as a believer, the Apostle Paul is burdened for the Jewish people, and he prays for them that they might come to Christ and believe in him for their eternal salvation. Three, as an unbeliever, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he persecuted those who believed in Christ. As an unbeliever, Saul of Tarsus, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he persecuted those who believed in Christ. Now, as a believer, Paul is trying to persuade the Jews to believe in Christ for eternal salvation. Now, as a believer, Paul is trying to persuade the Jews to believe in Christ for eternal salvation. Four, and he has expressed an impossible wish to be cursed. He has expressed an impossible wish to be cursed, separated from Christ, so that his fellow Jews will believe in Christ and be saved. So Paul has expressed an impossible wish to be cursed and separated from Christ, so that his fellow Jews might believe in Christ and be saved. Five, Paul's pain, the pain in his heart is so intense that he would be willing to go to the lake of fire if only the Jews would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's absolutely amazing. Paul's pain in his heart is so intense that he would be willing to spend eternity in the lake of fire if only the Jews would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Six, if this wish were possible, Paul would give his life to the lake of fire so that the Jews might be saved. If this wish were possible, Paul would give his life to the lake of fire so that the Jews might be saved. Seven, but this is an impossible wish. This is an impossible wish, but it expresses in the most powerful way in the Word of God his desire for the Jewish people and their salvation. Eight, Paul's eternal salvation cannot be canceled. Anyone who simply believes in Christ for eternal salvation has eternal security. You can never, ever, ever lose your salvation. Even though there's a lot of fundy churches out there that are telling you you're sliding off the roof, you better do this and this and this so you don't lose your salvation. It's impossible. You have eternal security. You can never lose your salvation. So Paul's eternal salvation cannot be canceled, even by his own intense wish and soul pain and burden for the salvation of the Jews. Paul's eternal salvation cannot be canceled, even by his own intense wish and soul pain and burden for the salvation of the Jews. Nine, there is no sacrifice Paul can make whereby the Jews will be saved. There is no sacrifice Paul can make whereby the Jews will be saved. But there was a perfect sacrifice for the Jews and for everyone in the human race. That perfect sacrifice was by the God-man, Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Redeemer. Ten, the perfect sacrifice was made by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The perfect sacrifice was made by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The sins of every Jew in history was paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, as well as the sins of all mankind, the whole world. Jesus Christ's sacrifice solved the world problem of sin, the sins of the Jews and the sins of the Gentiles. So the perfect sacrifice was made by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And the sins of every Jew in history was paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. 11. Under the principle of free will, under the principle of free will, each Jew must make that decision for himself, to believe or not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So under the principle of free will, each Jew must make that decision for himself, to believe or not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So again, as I have been I'm studying this in my office, Romans, we're in this greatest paragraph ever, Romans 9, 10, and 11. I mean the parenthesis, the greatest parenthesis ever. Romans 9, 10, and 11. I'm having just amazed at this as I am with Hebrews. And so I am having a great time in my study in Romans. It's so powerful. And in Hebrews, it's so powerful. And, you know, the longer my cardiologists want to know, what are you doing? What's going on? Doc, I'm studying the Word of God and teaching five times a week. I am having more fun studying and teaching the Word of God than I ever have in my life. And it is, well, it's why I'm here. And that's when he had a hard time. I flunked the stress test. I flunked the heart monitor test. So he sent me in to get an angiogram. I broke the camera. No, I didn't. Angiogram. And then he says, well, I'm going to send off to the doctor who wants to do this that I'm going to say you're a low risk. Whoa, low risk, okay. And they got it that day and then called us. Oh, let's get you a time to come in here and we'll just take one leg off at a time. But I told Doc, I said, you know what? If I die in surgery, I'm absent from the body and face to face with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the greatest win ever. The greatest win ever. And I'm not going to get there and say, no, send me back. The greatest win ever. Absent from the body, face to face with my Lord. If I wake up after surgery and I have you did some Jiffy Lube on my knee. Well then, there's only one reason why I'm here. Only one. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? And he said, yes. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if I'm here, there's nothing I would rather do than feed the Lord's sheep. And that means study and teach, study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. And so, and Dr. Ruggieroli is a believer. And his father is a believer. And so I told him, I said, well, he said, I put you down low risk. I said, okay, how low can you go? we got that coming up. But these doctors are so booked up, I can't even get in to have this done till July. So I get to stand up here and shuffle around to July. Romans 9, verse 3. For I could wish that I myself would be anathemed, accursed, consequently separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, according to earthly descent. One. The more the Apostle Paul grew up in grace and truth, fulfilling 2 Peter 3:18, the mandate, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The more the Apostle Paul grew up and fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, growing up in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and attained the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue, love, brought to completion in his heart, the more sensitive he became to the tragedy of Israel and the Jewish people. The more sensitive he became to the tragedy of Israel and the Jewish people. Two, to have such a fantastic spiritual heritage as the Jew. To have such a fantastic spiritual heritage as the Jew and miss eternal salvation was almost more than Paul could bear. To have such a fantastic spiritual heritage as the Jew and miss eternal salvation was almost more than Paul could bear. Three, both the formation of the Jewish race, both the formation of the Jewish race and the origin of the Jewish nation of Israel emphasizes Jesus Christ as the God of Israel. Emphasizes Jesus Christ as the God of Israel. Four. Therefore, to be a Jew and not to believe in Christ, the God of Israel, is absolutely overwhelming to the Apostle Paul. Therefore, to be a Jew and not to believe in Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, is absolutely overwhelming to the Apostle Paul. Paul looks at them and as being so close to eternal salvation, and yet so far. 5. Paul's pain and burden persisted. Paul's pain and burden persisted in proportion to the number of Jews who rejected Christ as Savior. Paul's pain and burden persisted in proportion to the number of Jews who rejected Christ as Savior. 6. Paul sees the destiny of every Jew who rejects Christ as Savior to be the lake of fire. Paul sees the destiny of every Jew who rejects Christ as Savior to be the lake of fire. Seven, because Paul understands the issue, because Paul understands the issue from knowing and believing the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures, and from the royal family honor code in his soul, Paul is even willing to take their place and go to the lake of fire, if it meant that they would be saved. Paul is even willing to take their place and go to the lake of fire, if it meant that they would be saved. 8. Even though this honorable desire is impossible, the expression of it reveals Paul's virtue love brought to completion in his heart, reveals his impersonal love for all the Jews, reveals his maximum function of the royal family honor code. So even though this honorable desire is impossible, the expression of it reveals Paul's virtue love brought to completion in his heart, his impersonal love for all the Jewish people, his maximum function of royal family honor code. 9. Paul sees the principle of substitution as one of the most honorable principles of life. Paul sees the principle of substitution as one of the most honorable principles of life. Ten, it demands nobility of motivation and expression of maximum impersonal love for all. It demands nobility of motivation and the expression of maximum impersonal love for all. 11, the greatest illustration of this principle for the whole world is the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place He was our substitute. He willingly went to the cross for us. He willingly received the world's sins in His body on the cross. He willingly received the judgment for those sins once and for all. Now, anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life and eternal salvation. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and matchless grace. We thank You for the privilege we've had this morning of fellowshipping with You through the study of the Word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.